Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me, calm down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me.
Together for my waking,
for my waking.
sun to rise for my sleep at night. I depend on you.
the glory.
So tonight, as you can see, we're changing up a little bit, and I'm sure you saw the announcements that tonight we have a night of worship. We're going to have some devotions by Rob Conti, stepping over there to the side, and John Tay. We also have a ministry update with Katie Breen from down at the Rock in Kensington. Should be, I think, a very special night, but home groups. Next week, we'll be back at home groups. There's only a few more before the summer, so next week we're back at home groups. If you don't have one, if you're not in one, please make sure you see one of us or scan the QR code to join up. May, so large group gatherings are usually the first and third Thursday. May has an extra. extra Thursday, and it happens to be that May 2nd is the National Day of Prayer. So the next large group will be May 2nd, but we're actually going to be meeting with the main church down down in the main sanctuary to join the rest of the church for the National Night of Prayer. Did I go out of order on you, Ethan? I'm sorry. So then we have a couple announcements for the ladies. And in May there's going to be an extra large group, right? So we're going to have May 2nd, May 16th, and May 30th. May 30th is the last large group of the official year of May, and then we go into large groups for June through the summer. Tomorrow night, ladies, we have a couple announcements for you guys. Tomorrow night is the women's dessert night at church. Starts at 7 o'clock in the main sanctuary. Worship, message, testimony, a skit, and fun. So if you guys want, if you haven't been to one before, it's from what I understand, it's a really special night. And the men usually show up and steal some of the extra leftover desserts. Ladies, also, there's the women's retreat coming up Friday, May 31st through Sunday, June 2nd at Sandy Cove in Maryland. Again, if you haven't done that, you definitely should do that. Sign up. It's a very special time. I know men's retreats are, and I'm sure it'll be the same for this one. Guys, we have a barbecue.
Yeah,
so
we do.
A pig roast barbecue. So May 18th. Over at Art Keeper's house is the pig roast and barbecue on that Saturday. Should be a lot of fun. If you've never been to a men's barbecue, awesome. A lot of fun, games, a lot of great fellowship. And the reason they moved it to May is so it's not 150 degrees outside when we're playing. Yeah. So, all right. National Day of Prayer, I already said. So, men's and ladies' hangs. If you guys haven't attended one of those are on the second Saturday of every month. Last month it was a blessing for the women. I understand they had a great time together, and we milled some lumber. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, we did.
The next one is on May 11th, and you're going to hear more details about that, gentlemen. We're going to be going fishing. So if you're into that, if you're interested and you're not afraid of boats, let's go. And for any additional updates on what's going on with the ministry, by all means go on Instagram, certainly see any one of us. This summer, we have some special things, but we're going to kick it off with a barbecue and to talk about dating. You like that? Yeah. That's Kate. Isabel, sorry, proper credit, barbecue and A, Isabel. But it should be a pretty special night to kick off the summer. Before I introduce Rob, and I know the leaders will appreciate this. Sometimes, you're in leadership and you go through ministry and you see things happening, right? So I'm blessed to have seen a whole group of young men grow in the Lord, and two of them are going to be sharing with us tonight. And I just have to say I'm really proud of you guys, and I'm looking forward to what they have. So without further ado, Rob.
You will.
I will.
Yeah. When you hold it like this.
Like this?
Like that. Oh. Yeah.
This one. Hey guys, how are we? I'm so excited to be able to do this. I can't promise you won't feel convicted. But I hope you feel encouraged that we get a night like this where we can just be reminded of who we are in Christ and keeping an eternal perspective. So that's my focus tonight. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, everybody that came. Before I start, I'm just going to pray, because we always need prayer. Lord Jesus, we're so excited that we get to sing praises, that we get to read your word, that you've implanted in our hearts and in our minds. And sometimes when we read it, it's your voice speaking directly to us, and we hear you so clearly. Other times we can't hear you because we've covered our ears, closed our eyes, or guarded our hearts from your comfort. So, Lord, I pray that you would break us down so that you can rebuild us on the truth of your word. Be with me as I speak. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, and we look forward to what you have to say. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just seeing how much range I have. Okay. So, tonight is a special night. I'm going to get right to it. We're going to look at our identity in Christ and keeping this eternal perspective. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, I'm going to read. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You could spend your entire life just meditating in these verses, but I only have 15 minutes, so I'm going to move on. But if you do not know who you are in Christ, or you don't trust that the Bible is true, you are going to slowly be conformed to the world. The flesh, the world, and the enemy are constantly working against us. If we take our eyes off Jesus, our sinful human nature and the desires of the flesh may fool us into thinking that our lives are all about us. Live your life according, the world tells us to live your life according to the way you feel. We have an entire culture that lives their life according to the way they feel. I was just thinking about how common, how often it is that we let our feelings define our reality instead of God's word defining our reality. But so a lot of people live their life according to the way they feel. The world justifies us in this man-made idea that we are here to worship and serve ourselves. Even as Christians, we might slip into this mindset that we are only here to experience pleasure and to avoid pain. Most of us want to experience the blessings from God, but not look at who he's creating us to be. If we are to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus, our life is not about blessings. It's about being conformed to the image of Jesus. Romans 12:2, commit it to memory if you have not already. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One of the things that I've noticed as I'm reading through Scripture is God does not make his will hidden. You can actually Google how many times God says, this is the will of God for your life. One of them is our sanctification, looking more like Jesus. We must go through the process of deprogramming. We may have been conditioned to believe lies about ourselves. We may have spoken certain things over ourselves, forgetting. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So regardless of how we feel, we do not get our identity from the way people treat us. If people treat us like trash, does that make us trash? If people ignore us, does that mean we have less value? As I was preparing, I, in my study Bible, it talks about being created in the image of God, that all human beings were created in the image of God. But we have the right through our faith to be called sons of God, sons and daughters of God. 1 John 4:4-6 says, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. This is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception." As followers of Jesus, we have to preach the truth to ourselves. We have become new creations in Christ, but sometimes it seems that our hearts and minds have not caught up to our true identity. 1 Peter 2:9-10 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." This is who we presently are. We did nothing to deserve this identity except for repentance and faith in Jesus' finished work on the cross. But don't buy the lie that repentance and faith is a one-time deal. Repentance and faith is a daily, hourly, and even a moment-by-moment choice. It is an act of your will. You have to want to be conformed to the image of Christ. If not, you will be conformed to the image of this world. You will be in bondage to your sin. You will believe the lies that people tell you. His word is where you have to get your identity from. We have the Calvary Young Adults merch on it. It says Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." If you keep hearing these same verses, it just might be that God wants you to pay attention. His will for your life is your sanctification. Your holiness, your Christ-likeness, will never be a detriment to you or the people around you. Jesus tells us in John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." We're not meant to live without a spirit. We're not meant to live our lives apart from Jesus. We have all tried and failed miserably to live a life without Jesus. Recognize that this all started because of what Jesus did for you and me individually. Ephesians 2:4-7 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." So I just want to encourage you guys, stay true to the good news. Jesus became the perfect sacrifice to atone for our sins. He saved us not because we deserve it, but because he loves us. He loves us not for the things we do, but because of whose image we were created in. In our small group, we're going through Galatians. In Galatians 1, Paul talks about the true gospel, about what Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life has done for us. Every time the Lord allows me to speak at this church or at our Bible study, I want to tell of what he has done for us, what he offers in exchange for our repentance and faith in him. We read the words of the Bible as the inspired word of God. They're not just words on a page, but Yahweh speaking to us. If you have not recognized the depth of your sin, the emptiness of life without him, the emptiness chasing the temporary pleasures of this world. If you haven't experienced his love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, or faithfulness, the invitation is always there to repent and believe. It's a lot easier to understand and trust that these words are true the more you spend time with him. So if you're not spending time with him, what are you doing? What are you listening to? What are you watching? Is it true? Is it actually true? Or is it a lie? John 8, 31 and 32 said, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What an amazing verse that we can recognize our freedom that we have in Christ. So you have to ask yourselves, I think, when you come into prayer and you allow the Lord to search you and know your heart, do you believe this? Do you believe the truth of the word? Do you trust what he says is true? Do you believe his words or the lies you tell yourself? You might tell yourself, "I can't do this or that because of my depression, anxiety, and any other earthly diagnosis." Do you believe this, or do you believe what his word says? In 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4, we just actually learned it. We just went through it with Rico. "As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So do you think that Christ has given you all things pertaining to life and godliness so that you would be slave to your sin? Are you giving people from your past who have treated you poorly the power to affect the way you live your life now? Have you determined in your heart to hold grudges against other people for what they did to you? Do you think that will help you to love God and love others better? If you're feeling convicted right now, take it as a positive thing. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. I have a lot more, but I think my time is up. As we go forward, keeping an eternal perspective, we recognize that this is not our eternal home. We're sojourners passing through. We have the power of the living God inside us who will help us through this. We're called to make disciples of all nations. And you can only do that if you know who you are in Christ. Thank you, guys. I'm going to pray, and then we'll continue worshiping him. Lord God, I thank you so much for this opportunity to bring forth your word. I pray that you encourage us by your spirit, that you make your power known to us. Help us, Lord. We love you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stand. Your name is the highest, your name.
is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. If you've been
to Matthew 16. And we'll pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Get to continue to grow in be like you, Lord, and help us every day, Lord, to do that as we dive into your word tonight. In Jesus' name. So we're going to start verse 23. Actually, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things for the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you're not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. When I'm going through that, that last sentence really got me. Jesus says, you're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's interest. And you realize who he's talking to. Jesus is talking to Peter. Peter's a believer saying these things, right? In verse 16, Peter just confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, right? He just said it, right? Again, Peter is a believer, and now just a few moments later, Jesus is calling him Satan. Why? Because Peter, even though he's a believer, is still focused on the things of man, things of himself, his idea of what Jesus should be. I listened to a message once from a pastor, and he said that we can do God's will, man's way. And there's a perfect example of this in 1 Samuel chapter 15. You could turn there if you want. I'm just going to talk about it. Right? I have to turn there, though. So, in 1 Samuel 15, I do not have it bookmarked, but Saul is the king at this time. Saul is told by God to go and kill the Amalekites. All the Amalekites and everything that possess. All of it. In 1 Samuel 15, 17, starting verse 17, it says, and Samuel said, it is not true, right? It is not true, though you were little in your own eyes, he's talking to Saul here, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel. And Yahweh anointed you king over Israel. And Yahweh sent you on a mission and said, go and devote to destruction the sinners of Amalekites and to fight against them until they are consumed. Verse 19, here it is. So verse 17 through 18, God said, kill everything, destroy everything. Verse 19, when then did you not obey the voice of Yahweh, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the eyes of Yahweh? Look what Saul's response is. Then Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of Yahweh and went on the way on which Yahweh sent me, and I have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and I've devoted the Amalekites to destruction. Now, verse 21. But the people took some of the spoil, sheep, oxen, and the choicest of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to Yahweh, your God, at Gilgal. Saul listened-ish. Right? Guess what? Saul was a believer too. Now, if you're not connecting the dots yet, have you ever listened-ish to God? Right? Because Saul, in verse 21, very good at justifying his disobedience. And if we're not careful, we could do that in our own lives. Right? But what does God want from us? Verse 20. Then Saul said to Samuel, Verse 22, and Samuel said, has Yahweh as much delighted in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of Yahweh? God wants complete obedience from us. Complete means complete, not I felt God was leading me to serve in children's ministry, but I kind of like the thrift store a little better, more my speed. I'm still serving. But is that complete obedience? Right? Just because you're doing something within the church, did God call you there? Are you listening-ish, or are you listening? Right? Going back to Matthew 16, Jesus just said, I must die. Peter had the audacity to rebuke the one who gave him breath. Right? But we do the same thing in our own lives, right? Just like I mentioned. But look what disobedience, and this is the Bible, this is in the Bible, this is not something I made up. Look what the Bible says about disobedience in verse 23. I'm going to give you the NLT version, so that way there's no lost in translation here. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. Not my words. Back to Matthew 16. What is God interested in the context of this passage? In verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So what does Jesus telling Peter here? You must die. Do you guys know what you signed up for as Christians? We must die. First to ourselves, to our flesh. Dying to your flesh, when it says, if anyone, denying yourself means you're not on the throne of your life anymore. You don't call the shots. You're not in the driver's seat. Actually, you should not be even in the passenger seat lest you even reach for the wheel. Right? I know personally, when I got to the point of realizing I'm not smart enough to run my own life, and how liberating that is to hand it over to a God who gave me breath, who said, I knew you before I was born, who does have good plans for you, but it's not easy, right? The second one is take up your cross. In the second part, take up your cross and follow me. The disciples knew what that meant. Cross back then meant death. Are you willing to follow Jesus to death? Now, maybe not in this country, won't see that. That's not a present daily danger that we go through. But that's what God requires. Ultimately, are we willing to die for him? Because there's other Christians around the world who are. Right? And that's very much a self-examination for us. Am I following you to the death? Am I willing to die for you? Now, we might not have that answer, right? But it doesn't hurt to get with God every once in a while. Just see where you're at, very least. Jesus said in John 13:16, truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who sent greater than the one who sent him. Remember and John 15:20, he actually looks back to John 13. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. All right. Let's get the ish out of our lives. Let's follow God fully. For those of you who have been walking with Jesus a while. But maybe there are some of you here, but like, maybe you're on the fence, newer believer. Maybe what I just said, what Rob said earlier, maybe you're like, I'm out. I don't want this. Doesn't seem worth it. You can. That is an option. I know the Weezendangers and some people in their home group have heard me say this. Christianity or becoming a Christian is not an easy thing. Nor is it an easy way out, if you're looking for an easy way out. That's not what Christianity is, right? Also, doing whatever you want is also not the easy way out. Maybe because you're here because you've been doing what you want and see where that leads to. So my question is, pick your hard. There is no easy here. You could either pick your own route, just as hard, or you could pick following Jesus. Still hard, but guess what? You got help. You have the Holy Spirit who lives in you. The Bible says the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Do you understand the gravity of that? That's the power that we have access to. That's the help that you need. We need, and believe in Colossians 1. By him, all things were made, and through him, by him and for him. We are made for him, to worship him. We're not meant to do life on our own. And maybe some of you, again, are here because you have done life on your own and you need answers. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way which seems right to a man, but ends in the way of death. All right? The world, the enemy, the devil, offers you things that perish. Right? When Satan tempted Jesus, one of his temptations was, all you have to do is bow down to me, and I will give you the kingdoms. What was Satan trying to do there? He wanted Jesus to take his offer because it bypasses the very reason why he came down. You can't have, in God's economy, you can't have glory without suffering. You can't bypass the cross. Jesus says it right here. Take up your cross. You're walking the very piece of equipment that you will be hung on, that you will die on. There is no glory without suffering. And just like I read in John 15, persecution is coming. Kind of feels like maybe in our lifetime. Right? The persecution that's in Acts. Not that someone made fun of you because you're a Christian. It's not persecution. Right? So, kind of done berating you guys. So what's the good news? Because there is good news here. So let's get to the good news. Verse 27, for the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with angels and will then repay each one according to his deeds. What's great about the Bible is, yes, there's a lot of judgment. Yes, sometimes God does some harsh things. But also there's a lot of grace, a lot of mercy, a lot of love for the creation, for you guys. We're all made in God's image, all right? We went over this in 1 Peter. Blessed be the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What's the living hope? You know John 3:16. The last two words are eternal life is your living hope. Just like Rob said, how he ended his Devo. We're just sojourners, meaning we're just temporary. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul compares Christians to we're tents. Our bodies are tents. A tent is not a permanent dwelling place. A tent is temporary. This is not it. Now, I get some of you have real problems, and it's very real right now. But again, this whole theme of this Devo is the eternal perspective. Right? How do we keep going in those hard times? It's because for the glory that's set before us. I believe that's Hebrews 12:13. 12 to 13. All right? Jesus endured the cross for the glory that was set before him. All right. Here's another beautiful verse from Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer any death, there will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain." This is what we have to look forward to. As much as the Bible tells us that God is of judgment, grace, and mercy, he's also have told us what our future is if you put your life in his hands. If you completely deny yourself, take up your cross, follow him, no more ish, follow him completely. Live like you take Jesus seriously, because he is there to take care of all your problems. Right? Again, not easy, a little easier. Whatever you're going through, doesn't matter. God already knows. He already has the solution before you ever had the problem. All right. All he wants is you, all of you. Take it seriously. All right. We don't have that much time left. You see, it's already Thursday again. Right, the next week will be Thursday again. Right, it's that fast. I'm 33. It's crazy. Right, that's how fast it could come at you. You think you're 21 now? Yeah, that's what I thought. Now you're 33. Right, so let's live for Jesus. Right, let me close in prayer, and Katie will give us an update. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you that we get to share your word, your heart, and help us, Lord, to follow you fully, to get really take you seriously, and to be that salt and light that you called us to be, and be your ambassador, Lord. Bless this rest of this time. Bless Katie as she speaks, Lord. In Jesus' name.
you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. For this night, God, thank you for this opportunity just to share about your faithfulness, Lord, and just what you're doing in Kensington, God, and just how you've already blessed my heart through tonight, Lord, through your word and through the messages shared, through the worship, God, just all ties in so together, Lord. Your spirit is so evident here, Lord, so just continue to be present in this place, Lord. I just pray that you would get all the honor and all the glory, Lord, and yeah, just speak to us now. In your name I pray. Well, for those of you guys that don't know me, my name is Katie Breen. I'm actually originally from Harrisonburg, Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley. I moved to Kensington, Philadelphia about 3 years now this summer. It will have been 3 years. So this first slide, I brought a couple pictures because I know some of you guys have been there. But for those of you that haven't, it's one thing to hear about Kensington. It's another to see it in pictures and another to experience for sure. So it was actually like yesterday God laid it on my heart to bring pictures. So here they are. This is the front of the Rock where I serve at. I'm also here tonight with my roommate, Mariah. She's super awesome. Who here has had coffee from your guys' church coffee shop? Okay, so it's from Mariah's church in Oregon. She moved from Oregon to Kensington, Philadelphia. So you can talk to her about that coffee if you want to afterwards, or other things. So where we're blessed to serve is at The Rock. This is under the L in Kensington, Philadelphia. For those of you that don't know much about it or have just heard rumors about Kensington, it's widely renowned as the country's largest open-air drug market. Along with that, it's just insane depravity, prostitution, sex trafficking, gang violence, gun violence, you name it. Just some really heavy stuff. The first two slides that I have is just to give you guys a picture of the mission field. Some of the slides that I'm showing are heavy, but they could be heavier, and I just want to give a real vivid picture of what it looks like. So really common is to see tent encampments under the L on the Ave. This gentleman in the top corner here is shooting up or about mixing his drugs to shoot up, which as it gets warmer, as it's gotten warmer, there are so many people out. There's an estimated 1,000 people in the streets. It's an estimation. It kind of fluctuates, and that's a lot of people. And that is really common to see. This guy's leg, actually, he has a wound from a really severe drug. It's called Trank, if you guys haven't heard of it. It is horrific. It's supposed to be for animals, really, really strong animals. And the guys who cook the drugs to deal them, they mix them in now because it's super strong. But it's, sorry to say it this way, but it's literally eating people's flesh. And it's just a, you know, a very visual picture of what sin can do. And people are really, you know, even losing, like, limbs. It's pretty crazy. I've had several people now since I've been there in 3 years that I talk to one day, and they have all their limbs. And then I see them a few weeks later, and they're missing one. They're missing two. And it's just really, really sad to see, but also just a very physical and vivid picture. Again, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? And it can look different for everyone in their lives. But that's what a lot of the Ave looks like. This is a picture from up on the L, just like a lot of people with all the trash. And that's actually a pretty good day. It looks pretty good there. So if you can just go to the next slide. Yeah, and here's just a couple more pictures of what it looks like. It's really common to see needles. Can't walk outside with sandals for sure. Even careful with closed-toed shoes because it can go through some. I think it was about 2 years ago. I was out with the chaplains one day, and I'll talk a little bit about that and what we do with the chaplains. And I realized, I'm like, Lord, like, we're literally walking around checking if people are dead or alive. And to this day, that, like, coming to a place like this, it's just so eye-opening. Wow, like, that really is what we're doing. And I think all of this and just ministry in Kensington, it ties into the eternal perspective, you know, maybe in a way that we haven't thought of it for a while. But God just really, you know, stirred my heart when I first moved to Kensington for, man, death is, like, literally at my doorstep, like, literally at my doorstep. So, Lord, like, what am I doing here? I had it written down in my journal when I first moved to the Rock. What am I doing here, Lord? Just looking out my window. There was a tent encampment of, 24 tents to 30 tents. And, yeah, people were just dying. You know, my first week, I witnessed a stabbing, and I was like, whoa, I've only ever seen that in a movie. Like, okay, Lord. It's got to be you, Lord. You called me here. You'll sustain me here. You'll give me strength. And what can I give? What can I do? And God continues to stir my heart, as well as, you know, the leaders in the ministry, the people I serve alongside of, Mariah and so many others, just to faithfully bring God and the truth of his word. And that can change everything. He can change everything, just like he's done in my life, just like he's done, I'm sure, in so many of yours. And he continues to do. I really like what Rob was saying at the beginning, just about identity. Like, that's the first step to the eternal perspective, and what a good way to look at it. And sanctification, it's a lifelong process, right? And, you know, I'm not standing up here as a missionary like I've got it all, because I don't. I'm still being sanctified. We're all still being sanctified, right? But in that sanctification, we're called to be that aroma of Christ, to be more and more like him wherever we go. And so we have the opportunity to do that in a really, really dark place called Kensington. So when I first came to the Rock, I really felt strongly called to the kids. I came for the sports ministry aspect of things. We do boxing, mixed martial arts, jiu-jitsu, weightlifting with the kids, as well as like pickup ball and volleyball and stuff like that at the parks with them. And very quickly, just fell in love with the addictions ministry. Just had a passion and a heart for the women and prostitution and sex trafficking caught up in the streets on the Ave. And with that, I mean, all of those industries overlap. So the addictions ministry just, you know, weaves its way right in there. And the message still remains the same. No matter what branch of the ministry it is, there's hope in Jesus. And I just, as you know, the Jonte and Rob were sharing, God continues to just jump this truth out at me. Like, how can we ignore the only solution when we have the answer? And not just like physically, right? We get to offer these people a lot of physical aid, but spiritually, for eternity. And all of our end one day is going to be in eternity. It's either in heaven or in hell. There's no middle line. And, You may be sitting in here today thinking I'm on the middle line. Well, if so, then talk to one of the leaders that are here. Just grab somebody, pull us aside afterwards, because there's no room for that. There's no room for that, and Jesus is coming, or we're going to see him, you know. And like John just hit home at the end there, like life is so short. You know, I didn't plan on sharing this, but I'm going to. Before I moved to The Rock, it was 2 weeks before I moved to The Rock, I had a really bad asthma attack at my church. I passed out. I couldn't breathe. Luckily, we had a doctor on staff at my church, and he took me to the hospital. I don't even remember anything until I got to the hospital. My dad was there. He's actually the pastor of our church, so he just left, and they all just prayed that day. Came to the hospital, and I had just been talking with a gentleman there about the shortness of life. God had really impressed on my heart. James 4:14, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. And I had been talking about that verse in the context of people that God had called me to minister to at the time. And then the Lord was like, but it could be you. Like, it could be you that's not guaranteed tomorrow. And so what am I leaving? You know, and so God continues to stir my heart with that same message to this day and just kind of build on that lesson. And I'm so grateful for it, because it's the same for these people on the streets, for these kids, for the different ministries. So, this slide right here is the kids, some of the kids. It was really hard to pick specific pictures because they're the best. So we have a girls' boxing program, girls' and boys' boxing program that are both growing immensely, and it's a blessing to witness and just be a part of and just see how God is working and moving. Here's a little girl from Monday. We actually have a guy who's about to fight his pro debut fight, and we have a couple pro fighters at The Rock, and it's just so cool to see how God has blessed us just with these guys who are really gifted and can also coach these girls. And there's a couple boys in the trunk of a van, yes, and it was illegal, yes, but it's because we needed to get them to The Rock and we needed to get them back home. And me and Mariah have found it is way better to illegally drive them in a van than to walk the Ave for 12 minutes. So actually, you guys can be praying. We're trying to get a van, so just be praying for that. Yeah, we love them. Some of them are Muslim, and just hearing the truth of God's word for the very first time, and it's so amazing. And Muslim or not, just they all came and had never, you know, picked up a Bible, never said a prayer. Even last night, we brought some of the kids to prayer night, and they're praying now, and they, like, get it. They're starting to really get it, and it's so beautiful to see and be a part of. This is a side lot next to the Rock building. We just play basketball with our little half court, bikes, chalk, whatever we can play with just behind this tent. That's at our youth night. We have every Friday. We do Bible study. We feed them dinner. We do worship. And just use sports, games, dodgeball, which is huge, as just a way to get these kids in and share the gospel with them. These two pictures over here, we did a block party recently on our block, and we taught the kids how to plant flowers. It was so cool. And we did have to explain, like, every bit and piece, like, seeds go under the dirt, like, not on top of, you need this much. Give it sun, give it water, just, you know, general things that we can take for granted. This is just a little girl that just has my heart on her block, who's just blowing bubbles. So the kids, the ministry is growing. We have a youth center that's currently being renovated, and we just need prayer for that. We need prayer for the funds. We need prayer for the people who can come and help build this project. I don't know about you guys, but I never grew up playing at a basketball court outside hearing gunshots, and I, you know, worrying about ops from a gang pulling up and picking me up or whatever that looks like. And that's what these kids live in. Like, that's the everyday reality. And I remember it was probably my first spring when I was here, just seeing the kids, like, so antsy while we're playing ball. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, what's wrong with you guys? Oh, this guy keeps looping the block. He's looking for us. He's our op, or, you know, he pulled a gun on my brother in the store, or whatever the story is. And it's just crazy, you know, the stresses that they have to live with. And the same message stands, you know, Jesus can change everything, can change those cycles. And so we want to faithfully bring them God's word, God's love, and just the hope that we have in him. And we want to use this youth building as a part of that. So these are the blueprints. This is what the building looks like from a picture from above. Another building project that we have going on right now is our pregnancy center. So as you can imagine, just with the women on the Ave and the streets and just in the community in general, this is a really, really big need to reach these women and talk to them to get them to keep the baby, to see the value of a life and to minister to them through that. So you guys can be just praying over these renovations, these projects, and just that God would just provide every single thing necessary for them. So if you go to the next slide. So the streets. So the Kensington Initiative, this is super exciting. So I was talking to Rob a little bit beforehand about this, and he asked me what the summer at the Rock will look like. And I was like, I don't actually know 100% because, Lord willing, there's going to be some changes in the streets. So the mayor of Philadelphia, the new mayor, has asked us to head up the first phase of her plan to clean up Kensington. And the first phase is outreach, which is no different than really what we've been doing. We're just kind of doing a magnified version of what we've been doing and just hitting the streets. We were doing it like 4 days a week. We've cut back a little to just have more numbers on a couple days a week. And we've gone out two different times on big outreaches. The first one, 20 people went away to rehab. 200 people were engaged. I think it was like 20-something got wound care. 18 received housing help, which is just amazing in one day. And then in our second one that we had at the beginning of this month, 26 people went away in one day. And I actually asked the guy who heads up our drop-in station this morning how many people we've sent to rehab overall since the beginning of the year. And it's about 200, which is pretty incredible. So we are the drop-in station is the place where they send, this is the worst way to say it, but we send the most people away to rehab, and it sounds like bragging, but it's because God is faithful, and he is really bringing people in, not just to receive physical aid, but to receive the gospel, to hear the gospel, to hear the truth, either seeds planted, seeds watered. Sometimes, you know, we're encouraged when we see him reap a harvest through it, but it's just amazing to see, and we don't do it for numbers, because even if it was one, amen, praise the Lord, but that's just to show that he is really, really blessing it. So, yeah, again, as you can see, just what it looks like in the streets, and we have several different organizations that we partner with that come, and this is Adult Teen Challenge. We love them. They're a Christian discipleship program, which our hope is everyone gets into some program where they can get fed the word in Christ. So if you go to the next slide as well, just gonna make sure. Yeah, this is one thing that our pastor says a lot that I really like. He says, we deal hope, not dope. That's our pastor, Buddy Osborne. And we'll go to corners some days of the week as God leads just to pray over really heated corners. Where Mariah and I live is one of them, one of the top drug dealing corners. And we had the privilege to go there yesterday with a group and just pray and sing worship songs. And just so cool. God opened a door. There was a guy with us from a mission team who had shared with us beforehand that he was previously a dealer, but he was also a user. And in my head, in my heart, I was like, man, I really hope this guy is on the corner today, because one of our dealers overdosed on Easter morning. And I looked out my window and I was like, oh, great, that guy's not doing good. We went out and checked on him, and he needed Narcan. They administered Narcan, and he came back. God gave him a second chance, and yes, he's still out on the corner, but this guy who came from this mission team got to go minister to him with his direct testimony. Just give him a chance. Hey, you have a chance to get out now. So just as we're going out and, you know, warning the people on the streets, hey, after the first phase of outreach, you know, the enforcement's coming, we're also here to warn the dealers. We're also here to warn the kids. We're also here to warn anyone and everyone who doesn't know Jesus. It's no different if they don't know Jesus, right? That's the only hope we have. Now, the physical ramifications for these guys, yes, it looks different. So God is really opening doors for us to minister to the dealers as well as those on the streets. So that's been a big blessing. Yeah, I did include this picture just because it just shows a little bit not a little bit, a lot of it, of some of the intensity on the streets at times. And when we find people overdosed, we have Narcan. We're trained to administer Narcan. And this woman, the ambulance had showed up and declared her dead. And we just kept praying. Our chaplain clerk kept praying. And she came back. It was amazing. And we were able to tell her, hey, God's given you a second chance. What are you going to do with it? And, you know, we find ourselves continuously telling people that because he's given us a second chance. Really, it just might not look like that for us, you know. So, yeah, you guys can just continue to keep this in prayer, just for change and revival in the streets, for strength, for energy, for endurance. And I know Kate was talking a little bit beforehand about you guys maybe sending a team, so I'm just throwing that out there right now. So hopefully that happens. But, yeah, just pray about it. If you guys feel led to come out and serve alongside of us for a day, a weekend, if God just stirs your heart, we'd love to have you. And just like the guys just before me teaching, don't ignore that call. You know, don't listen-ish, because half obedience isn't obedience. And we need to fully respond to God's leading. And it might not be Kensington for you. You might be praying about going to Africa. You might be praying about your job here, you know, ministering to people. Well, I would say start ministering to them, because Jesus is coming back. And you know, I had told John that I was going to go into Luke 12, but I know I'm short on time. So I encourage you to read Luke 12, 35 through 48. I wasn't going to read all that, but you guys should. And it's titled, You Must Be Ready. We need to be ready because he's coming like a thief in the night. And, you know, I believe that we're living in the last days. Even if we're not, even if he doesn't come back, well, we need to live like he is, because he's coming back. And he might come back for... you know, in the next generation, and we need to keep being faithful. It says in 2 Corinthians, it is required of a steward that he must be faithful. And so we're stewards of God's word. We're those wise managers of the house that God has left, like in Luke 12 says, and we need to be faithful to bring the good news, to bring the gospel. We live in a dying world. It might not be the people on your doorstep. It could be you. You never know. And if that scares you, then we can talk about it, because I tell people every day when we're walking the streets, well, you know, if I die today, I know where I'm going, and I'm excited. I can't wait to be with Jesus, and I know he hasn't come back for a reason. I might not know all the reasons, but I know that there's many more hearts that need to come to know him, and my heart is burdened for these people, definitely where I'm called, but even just wherever I go, wherever God takes me in the world, whether it's Kensington, Virginia, New Jersey, there's people that need to come to know Christ because he's coming. So I just encourage you guys to just be faithful. And these verses, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. 2 Peter 3:11 through 12. So the word speaks better than I ever could. So I'll just leave you guys with that.
Let's all stand. Resurrect.
the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save. For him, there will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. Their lives right with you. Lord, I pray that they would make that today. Lord, because as we've heard all throughout the night, we are not guaranteed tomorrow. Lord, we are not guaranteed the next hour. Lord, I pray that you would instill in us a desire, Lord, to come into that right relationship with you. Lord, that relationship that was broken by sin. Lord, but we thank you that your Son came. We thank you that he died on the cross for each of us, Lord, paying the debt that we owed, even though he had no reason to, other than the fact that he loved us and that he loves us. Lord, so I just pray again for everyone in here tonight that we would be able to not only call you our Lord and our Savior, Lord, you are the one who saves people from sin when they place their hope and their trust in you, Lord, but you are also our friend. You come alongside us. You help to grow us more into who it is that you would have us become, and that is Jesus. That is to become more into the image of Jesus, that process of sanctification. So I just pray for everyone in here tonight, Lord, that we would get our hearts and our minds right with you. Lord, that we would look forward to that day, but in the meantime, we would be willing to share your word and to share your truth with a world who is going to hell around us. Lord, help us never lose that perspective. We thank you for this night. We pray that you would keep us all safe. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We're done. So feel free to hang out, fellowship. If you have any questions about the rock. Oh, Rob's coming up. Hold on, everybody.
Yeah, so this wasn't planned, but it's kind of weird to end like that. And we're going to just, I want to remind you guys, you just heard from three young adults. You guys are all young adults, same age. Katie, I'm sure there was a day when you were sitting in this a young group, you know, a youth group in her church, and she was like, oh, one day I'm going to live on a corner in a Philadelphia where they sell drugs and it's the top one in the whole thing. I'm sure that wasn't on your mind maybe one day, but the Lord put it on her mind. I know Rob and John, there was a day when they were like, Rob, what are you kidding? I'd never, ever stand up here and do this, yet they did, right? Because God is at work in all of your lives. Do it, right? Do it. Because you, right? What's the point, right? We have an eternal perspective. Who knows what God is calling you guys to do? I'm going to pray that each one of you heard tonight not only what the message was, but to see three young people who stepped out. And who are willing to step out. I encourage you guys. And then this book is beautiful, right? You know how it's more beautiful? Like that, right? Get in here, right? Because the eternal perspective that we're talking about is available to each one of us right here. So I'm going to pray for all of you guys. I want to pray one more time. So, Lord, thank you again for all that was shared, for this beautiful worship, Lord. For every person who has made it here tonight. And Lord, we read in your word that you have given each one of us a gift, that you have a purpose for each one of our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would make that purpose so apparent to everyone in a way that you have not before. That you would help everyone to just feel that urging of your spirit inside of us to move in that direction that you have us pointed. Lord, not one of us is not called to glorify you, to build your kingdom, Lord, to use the gifts that you have given us. Father, we ask this now. We ask for boldness and power in your spirit to step out in your name. And Lord, I know there is at least one person here tonight who needed to hear this very thing. Lord, we need you now. We love you. We are so thankful for this young adult's ministry. Bless the rest of our night as we enjoy fellowship. It's in Jesus' sweet name that we pray.